Awesome Egyptians, a horrible histories book by Terry Deary and Peter Applewright, illustrated by Martin Brown. Booby! Read by Vienna Vance. Introduction. Maths lessons are full of problems, but English lessons are quite another story. Music lessons can break all records, but geography lessons have their ups and downs. Chemistry lessons can be a gas, but biology lessons are full of life. PE lessons are one long game, but history is horrible. Horrible dates to remember, horrible kings fighting horrible battles against horrible people. Sometimes it all gets horribly boring. Tutankhamun was pharaoh. You girl, what do I mean by pharaoh? Or someone whose hair isn't darko? Stupid child. Sometimes history can be horribly unfair. The Egyptians wrote in hieroglyphics. You boy, what's a hieroglyphic? A bit taller than a lower oglyphic? You're expelled. Sometimes it can be horribly confusing. How many sides has a pyramid? Yes, Wayne? Please, sir, two, sir, an inside and an outside. I wish I was old enough to retire. But this book is about really horrible history. The sort of thing that teachers never tell you. Teachers don't always tell you the whole truth, honestly. Teachers think you're too young to learn about gruesome things, like the way Egyptians took the brains out of their mummies. So they don't tell you. Then you leave school and you may never ever learn this vital information. And sometimes teachers don't tell you things because they don't know the facts themselves. That's right, teachers do not know everything. Just some teachers think they do. So this book will tell you the things teachers don't. And by the time you're finished, you'll be able to teach your teacher. You'll enjoy that. In this book, you'll find lots of other interesting things. Stories to make your blood run colder than a crocodile's claw. Things to do that will be more fun than eating a bag of chips under a ladder. Facts that are funnier than a teacher's joke, nastier than a tramp's sock, or sadder than a three-legged sheep. I hope you'll find them all horrible fun. Egypt Fact File. The most awesome fact about the Egyptians was that their civilization lasted an awfully long time, over 3,000 years. They had been around so long that their monuments were ancient even in Greek and Roman times. Gosh, wow, they're neat. Wait till I tell the kids back in Rome. How interesting. Golly. Timeline of important events. Egyptian time is usually measured in periods called dynasties. A dynasty was the length of time that a ruling family lasted. Each dynasty could have as many as 13 kings in the family. There are as few as one. There were 30 Egyptian dynasties altogether, followed by two Greek ones, before Egypt finally fell to the Romans and then the Arabs. This is an awesomely quick race through time. Awesome Egyptian events. Time 3200 to 2300 BC. Dynasty 1 through 6. Period, the Old Kingdom. Events, Upper and Lower Egypt joined together and Nile floods controlled by drain building. Hieroglyphic writing in common use by scribes and calendar invented. Fish hand squiggle spells cat. The first pyramids built, including the Great Pyramid of Cheops. Can't we just have it pointy? Peppy, peppy, peppy! Ow, ow, ow! Time, 2300 to 2550 BC. Dynasty 7 through 11. Period, first intermediate period. Events weak rule by Pepi leads to revolution and mob violence. Starvation for many peasants. I wonder how the rich are getting on. Time, 2050 through 1775 BC. Dynasty 11 through 12. Period, the Middle Kingdom. Events, clever pharaoh's art, craft and writing very rich with huge temples being built and decorated. First bakeries in the world started in Egypt. You don't think it's too much, do you? Time 1775 to 1575 BC. Dynasty 13 through 17. Period, second intermediate period. It is fine, I'm just not sure if we have the right size yet. Events, shepherd kings, invaders from Asia, rule the north. Horses and chariots beginning to be used. First sweets in the world made in Egypt. Better spinning and weaving. New musical instruments such as oboe and tambourine. See any sheep? Tinkle, 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 tinkle. I wouldn't call that a musical instrument. Time 1575 to 1085 BC. Dynasty 18 through 20. Period, the New Kingdom. Events, shepherd kings thrown out. The greatest period in ancient Egypt's history. Rock tombs in the Valley of the Kings started. Tutankhamun lived and died. Ramesses II fights Hittites in great battle at Kadesh. And you can take our sheep too. Books of the Dead written on papyrus. Hebrew slaves in Egypt led to freedom by Moses. Tomb, sweet tomb. Wow, neat trick. Time, 1085 to 790 BC. Dynasty, 21 to 24. Period, the descendants period. Events, gradual end of the Egyptian kings. Egypt has to use soldiers from Libya to fight its battles. Can anyone speak Libyan? Time, 709 to 332 BC. Dynasty, 25 to 30. Period, the late period. Events, Egypt invaded by Assyrians. Egypt ruled by Persian kings. Nubian rulers are first people to encourage the study of history. Horrible history. Who wrote that? Time, 332 to 30 BC. Dynasty, the Ptolemaic period. Events, Egypt conquered by Alexander the Great of Greece. It's all Greek to me. Ruled by the Ptolemy family, Greeks. Last queen of Egypt was Cleopatra. Made in Egypt. Time, 30 BC. Events, Egypt part of the Roman Empire. Egypt is used to supply food to the Roman world. Time, 641 AD. Events, Egypt conquered by the Arabs. Allah moves in mysterious ways. Fascinating pharaohs. The most awesome sight that you can see in Egypt is the pyramids. And the most awesome things that you can't see are the people who have them built. The Egyptian kings are pharaohs. They've now turned to dust, bones, musky mummies, and of course, history. But how did they come about? Before Egypt was a country, small villages had grown up on the banks of the River Nile. Each village had a chief. The most powerful chiefs took over other villages from neighboring chiefs. They became kings of small kingdoms by the Nile. Again, the most powerful world conqueror neighbors and become even more powerful. In the end, there were just two awesome chiefs, the king of Upper Egypt with his red crown and the king of Lower Egypt with his red crown. About 3200 BC, King Menes of Upper Egypt conquered Lower Egypt. He joined the two crowns as a symbol. The country we now know as ancient Egypt was born. Villages with chiefs changed to countries with kings in a matter of only 200 years. How could this change have happened so quickly? Some historians think the new leaders were an awesomely clever group of people from outside Egypt. Conquerors, in fact. There is proof that these early kings were taller and had much larger heads than the peasants of Egypt. One leading historian says they came from the east. A leading hysteric says they must have come from another planet. Their skeletons in their graves have been found. Their flying saucer has not. Still, no one is certain. Make up your own mind. In any case, wherever they came from, it was their even more awesome descendants who built the pyramids. Could you have been an Egyptian king? To become king, you had to marry a princess whose family held the throne. If there was more than one princess in the royal family, what would you do? How can you make sure that you would be the king? A. Kill all the other princesses except your wife. B. Let the other princesses marry men who might fight you for the throne. C. Marry all of the princesses to make the throne safe. Or D. Have the other princesses locked away. I don't know whether to kill them, jail them, free them, or marry them. Answer? C was the most common. There was no limit to the number of wives a king could have. The more royal princesses C could marry, the safer he would be. Your royal role. As a king, here are some of your duties. The head said festival. Are you fit? The king has to prove his fitness by running round a fixed course. This is usually held after the king has ruled for 30 years. This terrible trial is held at the Hebsed Festival. You must be joking! Religious leader. Remember, you are not just a king, you are also a god. Every morning, the king has to make offerings to the other gods. This is to ask the sun to rise. If you don't, then the sun won't rise and the world will end. If you are a bit lazy, don't worry. The priests usually do this job for you. The priests will also eat the offerings to the gods as part of their payment. One of your other powers is command over the great river Nile. Each year, you perform the ceremonies to make the river rise and flood the land. This keeps the land fertile for growing crops and the people well fed. Nile River, area usually flooded. Area flooded when Pharaoh Amenhotep II forgot to say stop. Government leader. An important duty is to keep the two parts of Egypt together, Upper and Lower Egypt. Feeling a bit overwhelmed? Don't worry, you have lots of officials to help you run the country. The royal nickname. Of course, it's very unlikely you would have been an Egyptian king, and much more likely you'd have been a commoner. As a commoner, you'd have to mind your manners with the king. For a start, you'd be in big trouble if you called the king, well, king. If you were an ordinary Egyptian, it could mean death. The Egyptians believed that their ruler was sacred. They were supposed to be in awe of him. After all, he wasn't just a king, but a god as well. So it was very insulting to use his private name. Instead, they used respectful nicknames. The most popular nickname was Pharaoh, which meant great house or palace, because the king's body was the human house of a god. Awesome army leader. The carvings on all Egyptian monuments show the king as a conqueror. What if you lose? Don't worry, the writers, scribes, can still say you won. Ramesses II fought the Hittites at the Battle of Qadesh in Syria. The Egyptian scribes described his great victory. The Hittite writers described the same battle, but in the Hittite story, the Hittites won. Is she a queen or a king? The king of Egypt was a man, but occasionally he could be a woman. Yes, a woman could be a king.
If a woman was the most powerful person in Egypt, then she would rule the kingdom. But the Egyptians would never see her as a queen. For the king of Egypt was also the son of the chief god, Re. The son of Re had to be a man, didn't he? So the king had to be a man even if she was a woman, see? If she didn't have the qualities of a man, then the Egyptians gave them to her. She would have to have a beard, so they gave her a chin wig. Hatshepsut was a woman king, and she often dressed in men's clothes to look the part. She had her name written on monuments all over Egypt, but the kings that followed Hatshepsut were so confused and in awe of her, they scratched her name off the monuments again. They tried to pretend that woman king Hatshepsut had never existed.
I wouldn't look up there if I were you.
Cleopatra was the most famous queen of Egypt, and she didn't have to pretend to be a man. However, she ruled the country almost 1,500 years after Hatshepsut, and she was a foreigner, a Greek. The terrible tragedy of Tutankhamun, or would you marry your grandfather? King Akhenaten was a problem. He had a crazy idea that there was only one god in Egypt, Aten, and he spent so much time bothering about Aten that he forgot to defend Egypt against her enemies. The chief ministers must have been frantic. King Akhenaten had to go, and he went. He died suddenly and mysteriously. His uncle I, the highest minister, probably had something to do with it. He saw to it that Akhenaten's younger brother Tutankhamun became the new king. He was only 9 when he took over the throne, so he couldn't sort out Egypt's problems by himself. So his uncle I helped him out, and helped himself to an awesome amount of power. Uncle I sorted out the religion problems and the defense of the country. In fact, Uncle I ran the country while young Tutankhamun lived a quieter life with his wife, Ankhesenamun. They were very fond of hunting. Then Tutankhamun died. How? He could have died of natural causes, but he was only 18. Or was he murdered? Maybe Tutankhamun had decided it was time to take over from Uncle I. And maybe Uncle I didn't want to let go of the power he'd enjoyed for nearly 10 years. There were only 2 ways that Uncle I could hang on to that power. He could fight for it, but he might lose in battle. Or he could kill Tutankhamun and marry the Black King's widow, Ankhesenamun, but she was his granddaughter. Ankhesenamun didn't like the idea of marrying her grandfather one little bit, would you? But what could she do? What would you have done if you'd been Ankhesenamun? 1. Offer to marry a foreign prince who would become the new king of Egypt. 2. Poison yourself. 3. Marry your grandfather and stay as queen, or run away. Ankhesenamun chose number 1. I think I would have too. She offered to marry Prince Zenanza, the son of the Hittite king, even though the Hittites were Egypt's enemies. The Hittite king sent Prince Zenanza to marry Ankhesenamun, but the prince never arrived. He was murdered on the way, and we can guess who arranged that. After her plan failed, Ankhesenamun agreed to marry Grandfather I. And the good news? I became king, but he only lived another 4 years. That probably served him right. Kingly curiosities. 1. King Pepi II ruled from the age of 9 till he was over 100, awesomely longer than any other Egyptian king. 2. King Sneferu invited 20 of his wives to row across the palace lake to entertain him. It was going well when one wife dropped her hair clip into the ladder. She sulked and refused to go on. The king pleaded. She refused. Finally, King Sneferu had to order the court magician to find it. An ancient story says that he folded one half of the lake on top of the other and found the hair clip. Found it! I wonder if this bloke ever met Moses. 3. Many kings hired magicians. One knew how to cut off a goose's head and replace it without harming the bird. Was this a bit like the sawing a lady in half trick of modern magicians? Another one could make a wild lion as tame as a pet. Why couldn't he pull me out of a hat like other magicians? 4. King Ramesses II faced the Hittite army with no help but his pet lion, and lived. He prayed to the god Amun for help. At that moment, an army of allies turned up and attacked the Hittites from the back. The enemy were driven into the river where many drowned. The Hittite king agreed to make peace with Ramesses and the lion. 5. The kings didn't just need their mummified bodies in the afterlife. They also needed their servants, scribes and cooks and tailors and builders and every servant they ever had on earth. Most kings were buried with models of the servants they would need. But the first few kings had a much more gruesome answer to the afterlife servant problem. When they died, they took their human servants with them. The servants couldn't travel to the afterlife while they were still alive, so they had to be killed. We don't know if they died willingly or had to be brutally murdered. We do know that outside King Xur's tomb, for example, there are the graves of 338 servants who were sacrificed at his funeral. It wasn't until the 8th king, Ta'a, was buried that this awesome custom died out. After you. No, after you. Serving the king was a great honor. But would you like to have worked for him knowing that when he died, you died? 6. The Romans ruled Egypt as a part of the Roman Empire. The days of the great kingdom of Egypt were ended after over 3,000 years. Ancient Egypt has been the longest-running empire in the history of humankind. Awesome. 7. The last kings of Egypt weren't Egyptian. They were all Greek. After Alexander the Great conquered the country in 332 BC, the Greek Ptolemy family ruled the country for almost 300 years. The last Ptolemy ruler was awesome Queen Cleopatra. But Cleo came to a nasty end. Cleopatra's lover was the Roman ruler Julius Caesar. He had protected her from a Roman invasion, but Julius was then murdered. She had to decide which of his two successors she should support, Augustus or Mark Antony. She decided to bet on Mark Antony and became his lover. She lost her bet, and when Mark Antony lost in a war against Augustus, Cleo was finished. The end would have been hilarious if it hadn't been so tragic. Mark Antony heard that Cleopatra had killed herself. He was so upset he fell on his sword and tried to kill himself. He failed. Then he heard that Cleopatra hadn't tried to kill herself. She was alive. He had himself carried to her. Then he died of his wound. Cleopatra was so upset she then really did kill herself. Okay, this time for sure. The Power of the Pyramids, August 12, 1799. He was an awesome ruler, the most powerful in the world at that time. Now this great ruler of the New World had come to visit a great ruler of the ancient world. He was the leader of France, the conqueror of Europe. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon had come to the Pyramid of Cheops in Egypt. His guide led him deeper and deeper into the heart of the ancient pyramid. At last they stood in the very center of the king's chamber. The guide began to explain what he knew about its history, but Napoleon silenced the man with a wave of his hand. "Leave me alone," he said, in French. "But, sir, alone." "As you wish, sir," the guide muttered, and backed out of the chamber into the dark passageway. Napoleon was alone in the warm, still, silent air. It seemed a long time before the great man came out. The guide held up the lantern. Napoleon was pale and shaking. "Is something wrong, sir?" the guide asked. Napoleon seemed to ignore him. Then suddenly he said in a harsh, dry voice, "Do not ever mention this matter again." "No, sir," the guide muttered and led the way back into the dry, light heat of the Egyptian plain. But later in his eventful life, it was Napoleon who mentioned the visit. And he hinted, just hinted, that he had experienced incredible things while he was inside that pyramid. Perhaps he suggested he had even seen a vision of his own future. Then, when he lay dying on the island of St. Helena, he seemed about to tell his secret at last to a friend. "But no," he said weakly, "what is the use? You'd never believe me." He died shortly after. The mystery of the pyramid's power went to the grave with him. The Magic of the Pyramid. 1,000 years before Napoleon entered the king's chamber, another great leader had stood in the same spot. His name was Al-Ma'mun, the Caliph of Baghdad. Al-Ma'mun was a young man and a very curious one. He heard about the magical powers of the pyramids and he wanted to find out for himself just what was inside one. Most of the pyramids had been raided by grave robbers. They were empty, but no one had broken through the massive defenses of the Pyramid of Cheops, known to this day as the Great Pyramid. A king's chamber had been dug deep into the rock under the Great Pyramid, perhaps to give a safe resting place for the king in case he died before the pyramid was finished. Another chamber had been designed for his queen. Finally, there was a chamber deep in the heart of the pyramid. Once the coffin was in the chamber, the passageways had been sealed with hard granite blocks. When Al-Ma'mun reached the Great Pyramid, he found that no robbers had broken through the great blocks, but the young caliph was determined, and he had an army of men to work for him. They dug new tunnels through the rocks. At last they reached the center. Al-Ma'mun now entered. He'd heard the legends about the mysteries the pyramids contained. Ancient charts that showed the movement of the stars, maps of the world as the Egyptians knew it, pure metals and gold, and magical things like unbreakable glass. In the center of the king's chamber stood a stone coffin, and in the stone coffin was nothing. It says, "Back in 5 minutes." King Cheops had never been placed in this vast stone tomb. Why not? If it wasn't to be his burial place, then why was it built? It's a mystery which has never been solved to this day. Maybe the answer is very simple. Perhaps King Cheops was buried somewhere else because the pyramid wasn't ready in time. But for many people, that answer is too simple. Dozens of people have put forward ideas, some more amazing than others. If the Great Pyramid isn't a tomb, then why was it built? What else could a pyramid be? Which suggestion do you like best? Some awesome ideas about the pyramids. 1. The Great Pyramid is a stone computer. If you take the lengths of the sides and their heights and angles, you can calculate many different things. The pyramid will tell you how to work out the distance around the outside of a circle if you know the distance across it. 2. The Egyptians could use the Great Pyramid to work out the distance the Earth travels around the Sun and the speed of light. 3. The pyramid is a mathematical horoscope. You can calculate the future from it. The Institute of Pyramidology in London says the pyramid has already predicted the crucifixion of Jesus and the First World War. It has also predicted that the world will end in the year 2979 AD. 4. The Great Pyramid is a sign to the world how much knowledge the Egyptian priests had, and how much power. They persuaded Cheops to have it built and made him pay all the bills. Then when he died, they didn't want his body inside their wonderful creation. Priests are great. Keep out. 5. The Great Pyramid is an observatory for watching and recording the movements of the stars. 6. The Great Pyramid is a giant calendar. The Egyptians could use it to measure the length of a year to 3 decimal places. 7. The Great Pyramid is a sundial. The shadow fell on pavements, and the pavements were marked with the day of the year and the hour of the day. 8. The Great Pyramid is a landmark. All ancient maps could use it as the starting point for drawing and measuring their charts, rather like the Greenwich Meridian is today. 9. The Great Pyramid is a perfect store for the weights and measures of the ancient world. The government needed a master set of weights to check if traders were giving proper value when they sold goods. But weights like the Deben were made of copper and lost weight after a few years' wear and tear. Sometimes they were even fixed by crooked shopkeepers. 10. The center of the pyramid is the center of tremendous forces of nature. Strange and wonderful things can happen there. Apart from Napoleon's strange experience, many tourists have gone into shock or fainted when they reach the center. Learning. Weirdness within. Learning. Someone who studies pyramids is called a pyramidologist. People who come up with crazy ideas about pyramids are called pyramidiots. The powerful pyramid shape. 50 years after Napoleon experienced the power of the Great Pyramid, another Frenchman called Bovis visited the Great Tomb. It was a mess. Other visitors had left rubbish lying around. A stray cat had wandered in and died. It was lying amongst the rubbish, forgotten. But Bovis noticed something strange about the body of the cat. It had not rotted, as you'd expect. In fact, it was so well preserved it could have been a mummy, but a mummy without any wrapping or embalming. Bovis decided that only one thing could have preserved the cat in this way. The power of the pyramid. This is very strange. You've probably seen the way a magnifying glass can pull together the rays of the sun into one tiny hot spot. Bovis decided that in the same way, some powerful forces of nature are pulled together by the shape of the pyramid. He went back to France and tried some experiments. He made model pyramids and placed different types of food inside them, food that usually turns bad in a very short time. He found that all the food stayed in a good condition for much longer than anyone would expect. Over 100 years later, in 1959, an engineer from Czechoslovakia read about Bovis's experiments. His name is Karel Dürbal. He wondered if the pyramid would preserve metal the way it preserved food. Razor blades were in short supply in his country in those days, so he put blunt blades under a model pyramid to see if it would stop them getting any blunter. To his astonishment, Dürbal found that they actually became sharp again. This was a great discovery. Dürbal had to make sure the idea was not stolen by someone else. He needed a government patent that would allow Dürbal to claim the idea was his alone. So Dürbal went to the government patent office. "Look, one razor blade can last twice as long, maybe 10 times. We do not give patents for mumbo-jumbo ideas. The least you can do is test my idea. Okay, I suppose so. Come back in a week." But when Dürbal went back the next week, the chief officer was a shaken man. "It seems, Mr. Dürbal, you were right, but we don't know why. You have been granted patent number 91304. And Dürbal sold the idea to a company who went on, very successfully, to make plastic models of pyramids and sell them as blade sharpeners. The people of Czechoslovakia bought the plastic pyramids. They really believed that they worked. But do you?